was, and I enjoyed it, most of the time. I ran my binoculars along the newly built railroad. So far, the SRAC had left it intact. They would tear it up soon, forcing a response. We had lost far too much of our new infrastructure already. They'd used the same provocation near Los Angeles, Houston, and New York. Dorthene's submarine culture near the Panama Canal had introduced me to the naval resources on my homeworld. Now, with real Sodalorian support, the people of Earth were rebuilding its scale. The SRAC looked and acted like monsters most of the time, but they had proven to be remarkably strategic thinkers. We thought that a SRAC boss called Naxus was the centerpiece in their brain trust. Sometimes, they even came up with new tactics, which was what worried me today. Sisusamon, Gnosis, and Rassilon helped me search for traps. Taliesin did the same for Palo, and Kakilson gifted Steve with a constant flow of information and opinions. That was the real reason the Modokin claimed to need to concentrate. His Starblade was chatty. "Report complete," Steve said a minute later. "Your turn, Starblade." I reached out to Zental through the new Starblade Vilak had brought with him to replace Yisan. According to Sisusamon, Sondok was a strange weapon forged during a different era, which is why it had a slightly different name, and sometimes behaved unexpectedly. Butterflies danced in my gut. Putting the Ulniri Swordmaster in charge of an element of our force made me more than a bit uncomfortable, but I concealed my unease. Leaders had to do that sometimes, I thought. Trust, but verify. Watch and wait. What could possibly go wrong? "We have arrived and are ready," Zental said, via what we'd started calling the Starblade Channel, or just the Blade Channel. "The SRAC are forming a dangerous triangle. This will give them the ability to pivot easily on level terrain." "He's not wrong," Steve murmured. "I have concerns for this operation. Something is off with the tone of the enemy."
"Tone?"
Palo asked skeptically. The Modokin didn't defend himself. Neither Steve nor Palo liked Zental. I didn't love the guy, but the Order needed him and his siblings. Bringing him into the organization was the right call, even if there were hiccups. Trust but verify. That was becoming my private mantra. I repeated it each time I interacted with the man. "We must adjust our position," Zental said. "Jax found a superior position to what was discussed during the briefing. Stand by while we move."
"Was that a dig?" Palo asked. "He hated every part of your plan and barely seemed like he would do his part."
"There were some parts he thought were good," I said defensively.
"He was remarkably silent about them," Steve said.
There was no point in arguing with the Modokin Starblade. His fellow apprentice agreed, if her expression was a clue. I pretended not to notice and resumed my survey of the SRAC force. We hadn't seen it done, but there were reports from some of the Ufers that the new SRAC triples slingshotted regular SRAC into battle. Sometimes this damaged the Twisters, but more often than not it proved a terrifying battle tactic. Big Feet Pete was now attached to the Earth Force led by General Marcus Andrews. He gave me updates and did his best to rein in the infamous officer. The man loved to fight and had been selected for his propensity to engage the enemy. Previous commanders had done nothing but retreat and make excuses.
"What will the next assignment look like?" Steve said.
"I could work with Zental if you wanted to put Nori or Jax with Palo. Nothing against you, Pei."
No, I think that's a good idea," she said.
"You two don't like the Ulniri on one team." They hesitated long enough for me to confirm this was a pre-planned suggestion. Palo recovered first.
"He has too much influence over his siblings. They already think he walks on water. If he gets cross with one of your decisions and decides to leave the Order, he'll take them with him, and that would be a shame."
I waited for Steve to comment. He sighed.